Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that all is well with you on this day. We want to talk about a very, very controversial yet very interesting topic today. It's about money. About money is our topic. Now, we do have the syllabus for you to download. Just click on that, and if you've already done that, we'll begin with our teaching. Our topic is about money. Praise Him. As we look at this, of course, our scripture to remember is from 1 Timothy 6, chapter, verse 10. And the Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." The love of money is the root of all evil. For so long, I believe the OJs had a hit back in 1973 about money, money, money. And of course, I was in high school then, and they sang this line, and it's been quoted, misquoted for so long. Money is the root of all evil, is what they said. We're going to forgive them. That's not what the Bible says. We see here in 1 Timothy 6 and 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." One of the things that we have to realize is that God is the source of all things. If there's going to be any type of blessing, well, we'll say God is the source of all good and perfect gifts. God is the source. And one thing you have to realize, that money is only a resource. God is the source, but money is a resource. Now, when you look at your syllabus here, you'll see that the first section asks the question, is money good or evil? Now, there are three things I want you to write down on those lines down there as we answer the question, because many people say it's evil, some people say it's good, some people say, well, I don't know. First thing to write down is, money can be used for good. Write that down. Money can be used for good. You can use money for all kinds of good things, like food, shelter, clothing, transportation. You use enough money, get enough money, you can solve a whole lot of things in this world. And that's why there's a problem, because many people love it so much so that they can have that power, that they forget that it is God who gives all good and perfect gifts. So remember that money can be used for good things. An education. You can use money to get a better education, to better yourself, to buy some things that you really need, to help the poor, to help other charitable organizations. So money can be good. Number two, write this down under, is money good or evil? Money can be used for bad things. People use money to buy drugs, illegal drugs, alcohol to get drunk. They use money to pay a hitman to off somebody for them. They'll use money and bribe people to do things that they shouldn't do. So sometimes money can be used for bad. You know, the second thing to remember. But the third thing I want you to write down, number three, is money is amoral. Now, the word amoral, A-M-O-R-A-L, A-M-O-R-A-L. That means money is neither good nor bad. It can be either used for good or used for bad. So it's in between. It is simply a tool that God allows us to use in order that we may attain the things we need in this life and provide for a better living for ourselves and our loved one. One of the things of the Constitution, amendments to the Constitution, is that we all have the right to liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. And very often we use this money to get that pursuit. But once again, let me remind you, God is the source. Money is only a resource. The second thing that we want you to look under money basics. Now, is money good or evil? First is money can be good, money can be bad. And the third thing we said was money is amoral. It's neither good nor bad. But the thing on the money basics, you will see that there's a scripture, the Ecclesiastes 11 chapter, verses 1 through 4. Reading that very quickly, the Bible says, "Cast your bread upon the water, for you will find it after many days." And I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Now, I know that's a lot of analogy, and you say, what in the world do clouds, trees, or wind, or rain, or whatever have to do with money? All of these are symbolic, at telling us about investment or giving money out, that the way that you receive, the casting your bread. Now, bread, of course, in the scripture always represents that which is vital to life or that which is needed in life. And since we know we need to have money, yes, we do need to have money. You can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost will not keep your lights on or keep you your rent paid or keep your car payment up. You've got to get out there and work and get the commodity or the resource we call money. That's just the way it is. And even if somebody takes care of you, they have to use money. So we have to understand and put all things in perspective. So when we use the term bread, it simply means to that which you really treasure, which is money, to give in investment and give in a good way, give to the right things. Because if you're stingy and you hold on to your money, that's all you're going to have. You're never going to have any more than what you have in your hand. First thing to write down is this from the scripture of Luke 10 and 19. Write this down. Number one, give and it shall be given. This is one of the things we want to teach you about money. Give and it shall be given. Now, I know you sit and say, oh, that's all preachers want anyway. They just want our money. No, that is not true. The money will help to finance things in your life, but when you give it, God will make sure that you receive back that which you give and even more when you give it in the right spirit. So remember that. Number one, give and it shall be given. If you want to receive something of God, first thing you need to do is give. If you want to get something, you got to release. Now you say, well, I don't have that much money. Well, we're not necessarily always confining this to money. Some of us have a lot of time on our hands where we're not doing anything. And we can go out and invest our time in some things. And God will give you back what you need. Or you may say, I'm on a fixed income. Well, so is the president. He don't make but X amount of dollars in his 4 years of working. So that's not an excuse. You can take a few dollars, and we're going to talk about the basic thing for God's plan of tithe and offering in just a moment. But you can use whatever the little bit you got, and God will multiply it, because he knows that once you give, then you are lacking. You've given for the kingdom, you've given for his sake, and once you give, something is lacking. And so God makes it his business to put it back. For the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. So when you're lending God something, will God repay? Yes, he will. He owns everything, so he's going to make sure that you get back whatever you give him. Praise God. Now, number two, write this down. You reap as you sow. You reap as you sow. Not only do you reap as you sow, but you reap what you sow also. But I want you to emphasize this. You reap as you sow. So as you give, as you are giving, God is giving back to you. You stop giving, then you'll notice that you'll stop receiving. So you all the time need to be investing in the kingdom of God, investing in the things of God, investing in God-like things, investing in things that are great. That's what the Bible is talking about, where you need to observe and see and give and be willing to release so that God may give unto you. Number three on the money basics is this. Invest. We talked about that. Invest in good soil. Now, we're telling you to invest, but you don't just throw your money out there to anybody, give it to any Joe Blow that comes on the street, because that not everybody that you give to is good soil. So good soil, as we relate in the parable that Jesus spoke of in the gospel, you know, you've got a different kind of soil. And when we say soil, we're talking about different type of ministries and into people too. So we want you to understand we're not just talking about giving necessarily to a ministry. We're talking about people. We're talking about giving in good causes and different things that is going to promote God and his kingdom. Some people are good soil. Some ministers, some preachers, apostles are good soil that you can give money to, and you will see that your seed will multiply. Don't just sit on your money and try to save it up for a rainy day all the time. It is good to save. So please understand what we're saying. It is good to save. It is vital that you save some money sometimes. Amen. But remember, as we looked at Ecclesiastes, the principle is sowing and reaping. As you release, you receive. Amen. So invest in good soil. Find that which is good to invest. We're going to talk about God's basic money pattern in just a moment. But remember, these are important principles about money that we need to remember. If you stop giving and you get cold-hearted and you close up, then you can't receive. You must keep your spirit man open to receive of God by giving, and by giving in the ministry, whether it's time or money or whatever resource you may be able to have. Praise God. The fourth thing to write down on the money basics is God has promised to meet your needs. According to the book of Philippians, the Bible says, chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need," not some of it, not a few things, not here and there, "but he will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. So God has promised to meet your need, and God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He's going to perform it. He's going to do it. God is going to do what he said he's going to do. So when you give, just know that God is going to give back to you. One thing I want to say before we move on to money and time, from the book of Ecclesiastes, if you'll back up one chapter to chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible says, and I'm going to read it from the New King James Version, and then I'll paraphrase it. "A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything." If you will notice the last part of that, what it's saying is, if you have some money, man, you can get yourself out of a lot of tights. If you got the proper amount of money and the resources, the money, you can solve a lot of problem. You're sick. If you ain't got insurance, money will pay the doctor bill, pay the surgeon, pay the medicine, and all of that. Money will take care of that if you're sick. If you're lonely, you don't have to be worried about being lonely for long. People know you got a little money. You're going to have all kinds of friends, you know, and you'll make friends. And in fact, Jesus even tells us to learn how to make friend of that unrighteous mammon, which is, we're talking about money then, to make friends, to learn how to be friendly and to learn how to use money well, so that those who are in need of money, when they come to you to receive of you, because you are a lender, you're not a borrower, according to the scripture, you're supposed to have money anyway, so that you can give money, you know, instead of borrowing money, you should be lending. Praise God. But like we were saying, you know, with any problem that you have, money will answer or give an answer to it. Now, remember now, money is the answer to things, but money is not the answer to God. God don't care if you got $5 or $5 million. He wants your heart. That's what God wants. But now money is going to help answer the things that we need in this world. It'll help you in the advancement of your career. It'll help you in ministry. It'll help you with your family, your children having problems. You put your arm around them. Sometimes a few dollars to give them to go to the store, or let them buy a few things, or you can take them out to dinner. These are just examples. You don't have to follow exactly what I'm saying, but I just want you to get that in your mind. Money helps answer things, and that's a basic thing that you need to remember, and stop making money such an evil thing. Praise God. All right, let's go on to money and time, and we're going to make this give you these things, some principle about money and time that is very fascinating. All right, first of all, write this down. Number one, time is precious. and valuable for us. That's everybody gets it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute, etc., etc. We all get the same thing, but it's precious. The Bible tells us to teach us, Lord, to number our days. So make sure that you are taking care of your time. Now watch this. Number two, our use of time reflects our use of money. Our use of time reflects our use of money. You know how to use your time, you know how to use money. Praise God. If you know how to save your time, if you know how not to waste time, you know how to use and not to waste and how to save money. People who let other people burn up all their time, waste their time, is a person who may not absolutely be a good steward of money. So we want to be good stewards of our time. If you can be good steward of a time, God can bless you with more. Amen. Number three, everything you can do with money, watch this, you can do with time. Everything you can do with money, you can do with time. Number one, when we look at this, under this one, number three, you can save money, you can save time. You can invest money, you can invest time. You can spend money, you can spend time. You can lose money, and you can lose time. I've lost time before, falling asleep and woken up, and it's like, what time is it? Praise God. You can gain more money, and it's like you can save more time. So everything you can do with time, you can do with money. Everything you can do with money, you can do with time. So those are two commodities that we need to let be valuable in our understanding and let God use us in the right way. So keep those things in perspective. Number four under money and time. Time is the only thing everybody gets the same amount of. Time is the only thing everybody gets the same amount of. Some people have millions and billions of dollars. Some people don't have a dime to their name. But the man with millions of dollars and the man with no dime to his name, they all get the same amount of time. Praise God. So let's use our time wisely. And in the next section, this is the important section to remember as a Christian. God's plan, tithe and offering. Now we heard Malachi 3:10. I know your pastor or has said it over and over and over again. You say, I can just about quote it verbatim, but we're going to read it from the New King James Version so that we can all be on one accord. God's plan is tithe and offering for the financing of his church. Now that is just a base, that's basic money 101. God's plan is tithe and offering. All right, here it comes. Malachi 3:10, the famous scripture. Verse 10 says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. Praise God. That's God's plan for the church. It's not to go out and have bake sale, yard sale, men's programs. I know some people are getting upset while I say this. Men's program, women's program to raise money. That's not God's purpose. Having baby contests and all that type of thing just to raise money. The only reason you should have these things at the church is for fellowship. But we know that's not reality, so we're going to come on back to 2012, and we know that we go out in the world to get money from folk to help finance our church. God can finance his own ministry. He can. It's just that the people of God just doesn't trust God in what his words say, and they're stingy, and the church is suffering because of the people who are not in the church, who are not giving. Praise him. We're not going to get into preaching. We're just going to go on with our teaching. All right. The first thing to write down, number one, because we have three things under this particular thing. This is God's plan. Number one plan is tithing. So write down tithe, and that's 1/10 of your income. This is money 101, as we call in the college course 101. This is basic understanding. Tithe, 1/10 of your income. Praise God. Tithing is the least you can do. That's the least you can do. Actually, tithing only prepares the ground for the blessings. Number two, offering. Write this down. Offering. The second thing to write down is offering. And write down beside offering, seed for the harvest. You see, tithe makes the ground good. Offering is where the seed comes in to go into the ground. Praise God. The third thing we're going to mention is special seeds. That is, write this down, money pledged or committed to a specific thing or purpose. That's what I call special seeds. Money pledged or committed to a specific purpose. Sometimes you go to an evening service and they may ask for $10 or $5 or $20. If you have it, give it. If not, that's a special seed. The other two parts, tithe and offering, should go to your local ministry that you support and hear the preacher preach every Sunday. That's where your tithe and offering need to go. Also, you don't need to split it up. See, remember what we're talking about. We're planting in good soil. We don't want to break a seed in half or take some dirt from one place and try to put it on cement. That's what you're doing when you're trying to pay tithes at two churches. You can't do that. That is breaking the principle of scripture. You pay tithe and offering at one central place, and then you give special seed for other offerings or other things that people may ask, or according to as how the Lord leads you. Amen. One more thing as we close, the principle of seed time and harvest. From Genesis 8 and 22, this was right after Noah had come off of the ark at Mount Ararat, and God had put the rainbow there in the sky to confirm his covenant with Noah, to let him know that never again will he destroy the earth by water. And we know from the book of Revelation that it will be a fire and brimstone and smoke and earthquake, all these different things, but not water. Praise God. All right. 22nd verse of 8th chapter of Genesis. While the earth remains, we're reading from New King James Version. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and winter and summer and day and night shall not cease. What the scripture is saying here is that as long as there is a planet Earth, there will always be seed time and harvest. There will always be a time of planting and a time of reaping, a time of putting it in the ground and a time of getting it back, a time of giving and a time of receiving. Amen. Number one, under the principle of seed time and harvest, in order to get more money, you must invest more money. In order to get more money, you must invest more money. Praise God. God bless you. You give your tithe, you give an offering, and then all of a sudden you get a special check in the mail. Somebody just say, look, I owed you this money. So instead of paying the same amount of tithe and offering you always do, put an extra dollar or two in your offering. Amen. God's going to bless you, and your tithe are going to go up because your income is going to increase as you obey these principles. So you'll be giving more tithe, more offering. Don't stifle yourself and the blessings of God by trying to stay at the same amount. You say, well, Pastor, I'm paying my tithe and offering. I'm paying the same amount I've been paying for the past 10 years. Well, God's going to bless you if you step out on faith and give an extra dollar or two and say, God, I'm just trusting you. Amen. Number two, whatever you do for the kingdom is your seed to God. Whatever you do for the kingdom is your seed to God. Amen. And God accept your cheerful giving. That is, if you usher, if you sing on the praise team, if you preach, if you teach, if you work on a committee and you're doing it for the kingdom, if you give to the poor, if you help in nursing home ministry, whatever you do, is considered a seed. So not only your money, but other things that you do. So you're planting seed when you do good things for the kingdom. So God is going to bless you not only with more life, more strength, but he'll even put some more money in your pocket because he knows that you're going to need it to continue financing his kingdom. Praise God. Third point, and we're closing. Whatever God speaks from his word, whatever God speaks from his word is your seed for your spirit. That's your seed for your spirit. Whatever God speaks from his word is your seed for your spirit. Simply saying, when God speaks a word to you from the man or woman of God, from your pastor, from the prophet, and you receive that word is seed on the inside of you from the spirit of God and will help you to grow in the power of God, increase your power. And then as it increases your anointing and your power, that word that you got will also increase so that when you give, you'll get more back. Your return will be greater because the word has been spoken to you and God has given you the power to increase. Praise God. Deuteronomy 8 and 18, as we close, lets us know that the word of God, as he gives it to us, God himself and the Spirit of God and the Word of God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost gives you the power to get wealth. Now go forth and be prosperous and give, and it'll be given back to you. God bless you on this day. Be blessed.